That is a sermon by yourself, and you hear that message today. If the devil stole something from you, only way you can get it back is if you take it back, because he's not going to give it back to you. You got to take it back. You want your life back? Take it back. You want your heart back? Take it back. You want your family back? Take it back, because he's not going to give it back. Got to take what you want from the devil. All right, let's get focused, saints. We got a sermon to preach. All right, on your sermon outline, we have a title of today's message. I'm going to give you all a quiz, the same quiz I gave this morning. And they, you know, got 100%, so we're going to see how you all do. What is the title of today's message?
Why are all people?
Praise God, that's 1 point already. So what was the message, the title that Pastor Toby brought us first? Why care about people? God caused us to do it. Praise God. 2 points. Thanks, Latanya. And what was Pastor Rick's message last week? Why care about people?
We can choose.
Y'all was kind of sketchy on that. I don't know. Y'all might get a 99%. And today we're going to be talking about why care about people. Time is limited to do it. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for the time that you have already given us today. We thank you for the privilege of your blessing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You've already been working in our hearts and our souls and our bodies, our minds. We can already feel you, Lord. We already know you're present. And we know, Lord, that you have something unique to say to us today. Something special from your word that was already read so beautifully by Marvin, Lord. We know that you want to draw us closer to you, Lord. So we pray your anointing, Holy Spirit, upon this message. Move me out of the way, Lord Jesus. That everyone would see only you. And we thank you and we give you all the praise. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all your people said, amen and amen. So saints, when Pastor Rick preached his sermon last week, Why Care About People, We Can Choose To, he talked to us about making the decision to choose to care for people. And as I was listening to Pastor Rick's message, the most important part that struck me, it just when he said it, I was like, whoa. He said, every day people die. Remember he said that? But that wasn't the part that got me. The part that really made me stand up and pay attention was when he said, every day people die, and those people die without knowing God. I was like, wow. Think about that, saints. We know for a fact that some hundreds, maybe thousands of people would die just today. March 25th, they will die. And the bulk of those people will die without having ever known anything about Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't know about you, but that kind of touches me somewhere deep to say, wow, people are dying every single day without knowing Jesus Christ. And we know that death occurs every day, but sometimes, saints, we ignore it. We think we're going to live forever. But I want us all to imagine that today was the day. Today is all of our last day. We don't get a tomorrow or a next week or a next month, but what if you knew that today you were going to die? Now, I know some of you are like, oh, Pastor Kelly, you know we're not going to die. You know why you're posing that question. But do you really know? None of us really know. So what if today was your day and you were going to die today? What would you do differently today? How would you behave differently today? Who are the people in your life that you would absolutely have to speak to? You see, saints, whenever someone is getting prepared to die, when they know they're going to die, they're going to know they want to talk to some folks. You see, it's kind of like when you go on vacation. You can go to Alaska, you can go to Africa. You don't leave without speaking to some people and letting them know you're about to leave. So if you were about to die, who are the people that you absolutely, positively have to say something to? I don't know who that person might be. It might be your wife, your husband, your kids, your grandparents, your next door neighbor, your best friend. But I am sure that there are some people that if you knew you were going to die today, you would be calling them up on the telephone and saying something to them. Amen? Amen. So what would you say to those people? If you knew that you were going to die today, what kind of conversations would you hold? Anything interesting that you would tell them? What would you want them to know from you? Would you say, I'm sorry? Would you say, I forgive you? Would you say, I love you? I don't know what you would say, but I know that you would say something. You see, saints, I've said it before. I've spent many days with people who have died or are in the process of dying. And there are some unique things that happen to us when we die. And we don't often understand it. We don't think about it. We put it on the back burner. But saints, there are some physical changes that happen in our bodies when we begin to die. I don't know if you knew it, but I found out a long time ago that the true aging process, see, when we're born, we start growing up. But the true aging process begins when we turn 35. Did you know that? I'm already over that number. So everything from the beginning, we're growing up, and then after what, we're going down. So saints, there are some physical changes that begin to happen to our bodies that begin to change us as we're dying. And you may be sitting there thinking, oh, Pastor Kelly, that's not real. That's not true. I, too, was just like you. I did not believe it till I saw it with my very own eyes. But you see, saints, there are some things that happen to a person as they start getting older. There's some things that begin to change in that person. And when a person knows that they are going to die, they start having different types of experiences. You see, anybody that's ever been around somebody that's dying, you can recall a story when that person may have said, wow, I saw a garden. Or maybe they said something like, I saw an angel. Or maybe they said something about hearing birds or hearing a beautiful song. I don't know what they said, but every person that is dying begins to go through changes where they begin to let us that are still living know, I know I'm about to be out of here. And you can again say, but I just don't believe that's true, Pastor Kelly. It must be the medication that they're on. Maybe it's something changing in their brain chemistry or something like that, saints. But the reality is that I saw it with my own eyes from not just one person, but dozens of people. And here's the next catch, saints. None of those people knew each other. You see, this person that was dying right here, he died in this room. This person that was dying over here died in that room. Totally different hospitals, totally different cities. How could they know each other and yet describe the same thing? You see, something happens when we begin to die. God begins to allow us to go through the transformation of life to begin to prepare us to journey to the other side. But you see, saints, many of us don't want to believe that. We want to doubt it. But you see, saints, what's real special about being around someone who's dying, especially when they're a Christian, especially when they know that they know something's on the other side, is that they will begin to describe to you things that are just about impossible. And you see, saints, not only will they describe them, they will begin showing them. Ever been around somebody dying and they reach their hands up and they stretch their arms and go like, Jesus. And you're in the room and you're thinking, who in the world are they seeing? I want to see what they're seeing. But they reach their hands up or they start going like this and turning their head and looking around and you're like, who are you looking at? And then they'll say, well, can't you see the angels? Or they'll say, can't you see all the children? That's my favorite one when they tell me about the children. I'm like, all the children? Can't you see all the children? You see, saints, what we don't understand is that we are all on this process toward death. Every single one of us. We can think that we're going to live forever, but no one in this room is going to live forever. You see, saints, if you knew today again that you were going to die today, what kind of conversations would you start having with yourself about heaven? You see, we were talking after the first service, and a lot of us have had experiences with death. And a lot of us think, you know, all those experiences are not true. But how is it true that people who are atheists, people who don't believe in any type of God, but God will show them an angel just like he will show us an angel? A person that spent their whole life not believing, all of a sudden seeing something. You know what that person said after they saw their angel? Can you get the chaplain in here? Because I need to pray. You see, saints, none of us are going to live forever. But for some kind of reason, we all think that we're going to live till we're 120 years old. None of us expect to die today, tomorrow, or the next day. But all of us have the same destiny and the same fate. Amen? And just like none of us think that we're going to die tomorrow, we think that the world is going to stay exactly the same as it is right now. We think that just like we got brand new cell phones, we got cars, that everything that's happening in the world is going to be exactly the same. But you see, saints, anybody in here lived a little life, a little long in this world? Have you lived more than 10 years? Then you know, just like I know, that the world changes every year. You see, the world that we're living in right now in 2012 is not the same world that it was back in 1920. The world was different back in the 30s and the 40s. It was way different in the 60s and the 70s for whoever lived through that time. The world changes every single year from the beginning of time. But for some reason, we as humans, we keep thinking everything is going to stay exactly the same. You know those cell phones, those new iPads and iPhones and all that stuff y'all got, we all think is so new and fabulous. 10 years from now, those things are going to be archaic. You see, my daughter Trinity, she was like, she saw a movie and they had the phone on the wall with a long cord. And she said, "What's that, Ma?" I said, "It's the telephone, Trinity." You see, but back in the day, we thought that phone wasn't something special. You had your cord, you can go all around the house. You know? Tanya go like this, stretching her arms. We thought we was doing something with our cords. We were talking again after first service. We realized some kids don't even know I'm doing like this because we used to roll the windows down. We used to roll the windows down. We didn't have electric windows. Everything in the world changes. We change. The world changes. But some reason we continue to believe it's going to be just the same forever. They even thought this in the Bible, saints. Read this scripture with me from 2 Peter. It says, "Where is this second coming he promised? Ever since our ancestor died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water." You see, when Peter was writing this letter, he was writing this letter about the end of times, about the coming of the Lord. And you see, he lived in a world very similar to us, where people would ask the question. You see, we go out and we evangelize, and we tell everybody the Lord is coming, the rapture is going to happen, and they say to us, "When? Y'all been promising that forever. When exactly is this Lord coming back?" I mean, how many times have you saw on television they prophesied that today was going to be the day? April 21st is going to be the day. Then April 21st comes and goes. And they say December 4th is the day. That day comes and goes. So people in the world begin to say, "When is this second coming coming?" And they begin to doubt us. But you see, saints, if we think about way back from the beginning of time, this scripture goes on to talk about they have had this complaint since the beginning of creation. But the scripture promises us that the Lord has not forgotten us. You see, it is us that it says we deliberately forget that long ago God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water, by water. You see, saints, if you know anything about your Bible, you would have immediately picked up on the relationship that no human being, no life can exist without water. None of us. Not the dogs, not the cats, not the rabbits. None of us can exist without water, saints. And here it is, the analogy is saying that the earth was formed out of water by water. And then didn't Jesus say, I am the living water. I am the living water. You see, all we need to do is take that drink from the living water. And we as humans have the audacity to keep saying, where is the second coming? When is it coming? But the earth has consistently changed just as it has been predicted in Scripture. How did they know about these civilizations that were going to rise and fall before they even became into existence? You see, we go to school and we learn all about the world, and we learn all about the changes in the world. We sit down in our elementary level and we learn about the dinosaurs. Y'all heard about the dinosaurs. We learn about the cavemen and the cavewomen. But we know that today we do not see any cavemen and cavewomen running around Cleveland. So something has changed. We read our history books and we learn that we as African Americans, we did not start here, that our people were in a different continent called Africa, and that our people were one day kings and queens. But the world has changed. Those nations fell. We also learn in school about the Greeks and the Roman civilization. We learn about the queens of Europe and the kings of Europe who were all in charge of the European Empire. But those kingdoms came and fell. And then here in America, some kind of way, somehow, we continue to believe that America is always going to be the top dog in charge. Saints, we got to get it together. Just like those civilizations came into being and swiftly went away, America is just right along the same journey. You see, saints, nothing will be the same. Everything will always change. The things that are always that are here right now will not always be. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it won't always be. Won't always be. You see, as I've been talking about the end of the world and talking about us dying, I know you all are sitting there thinking, please stop talking about death. Can you talk about something more cheerful? But you see, saints, we do have to take the time and deal with the reality that we will all die, and this world is going to come to an end. And you see, some of us are going to die before the end of the world. Some of us are going to die, it's going to be the end of the world. But whether or not we live or die now or later, we will still die. You see, the reality is, time is limited. We don't have a lot of time left. If you've lived anywhere long in this world, you know how fast time goes by. Those of us, remember, we used to wish, oh, I just can't wait to be 16. I can't wait to be 21. That went by so quick. Then you start saying, ooh, I hope 30 don't come too fast. Am I 40 already? That's how it is. You see, time is running out. Time is limited. And we all have a certain amount of time left on this earth. Doesn't matter how much time, just know that we all have a date and a time. And I'm just going to be honest, saints. We all think that we're going to live. We're going to outlive. We think, I'm talking about the neighbor. Yeah, you might go, but not me. But you see, every one of us will eventually go. And if it's not us, it's going to be somebody that we know. It's going to be a friend, a family member, a coworker, but somebody is going to die. And we don't know who that somebody is, but let me tell you, saints, some of us in here today or somebody that we know has 1 week left. 1 week left. That's all they got. Some of us don't have a week left, but we have a month left. 1 month left. Some of us don't have 1 month. We might have 6 months. Some of us will get the entire year. Some of us have 5 years left or 10 years left. Some of us even got 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years left. I don't know about y'all, but I gave myself 70 years. I figured, no, if the Lord let me live a little bit longer, he'll give me 70 more years. But even if he gave me 70 years, I'm almost at the 40-year mark. That time is going to go by fast. We are all running out of time. Time is limited. What are we going to do with the time that we have left? You know, saints, there is a question at every single funeral. Every single funeral, people get up and they talk about, what has this person done in the world? What type of life has this person lived? What kind of difference did this person make in my life or the life of the community? When you go to a funeral, the point of the funeral is to remember the person's life and what they have done. Here's the question. What will they say about you at your funeral? Will anybody have anything good to say? You see, people sometimes at funeral, some people did so much good in their life, we got a whole lot of good to say about them. But for some other folks over here, it's like, can we think of something nice to say about the person? You see, I know all of you who go to Glenville, y'all already thinking, we already know how the funerals go at Glenville. We're going to have a good funeral. It's going to be all nice. Music, the choir going to be up there singing. We're going to have food afterward. But saints, even for us here at Glenville, what will we have to say about you? Will we have to go digging through all the session records just to find out you did something way back in 1950? Or will we be able to say what you did right now here today? You see, what will you be remembered for? You know that testimony time, for those of you that don't know, during our funerals, we allow this time of testimony where people can get up and say something that the person did personally for them. What will they get up and say about you at your funeral? You know, saints, will anybody get up and say about you, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that that person loved me. I'm so glad that that person took the time to take care of me. I'm so glad that that person taught me about Jesus. You see, saints, Pastor Rick talked to us the last time about moving a person closer along the path towards Jesus. He said, you might be the person that the very first person, you might be the second person, you might be the last person. The goal is to help move along that person toward Jesus. Now, you see, saints, we don't know where we will be in the lineup, but I can tell you this, that I do remember all those people who were in my line. I remember the people, because I was a little rebellious teenager, saints, I know. But I remember the persons that would say, Kelly, you need to go to church. And I would say, I ain't going to no church today. I'm going to sleep. You need to go to church. And I didn't listen at the time, but I remember they were in my line. Then I remember the next person that said something to me, Kelly, you know you're not doing right. And again, I was rebellious. I didn't listen to that person. And there were many people in my line. But for some reason, saints, I remember all of them. You see, saints, who will remember you as a part of their line? There are a lot of people that we can say told us a little bit about Jesus, told us a little bit about the church. And they became a part of our line. And I remember, saints, you know what? I realized that when a person in need needs help, they call on their Christian friends. Why do they call on their Christian friends? Because they know you're going to help them out. People who need help don't call the person that's doing bad. They call on the person that they know is already connected to the church. Will anybody call upon you for help? You see, I realized that in my line is this long line. It was a long line of people that tried to get me to know the Lord, saints. And I confess that. But I remember those people, and I remember even the very last person. You see, saints, because I remember when I was a young girl, my father was absent from my life. And it hurt me deeply, and I was very angry with him. And all the time he would say, Kelly, go to church. Kelly, do the right thing. And I couldn't listen to him because I just was so angry at everything he had to say. But you see, saints, when it came to my time, when I was on my knees and I needed somebody to call, who came to my mind? My dad. And you see, saints, I struggle with him because I, when I was younger, thought that Christians did the right thing all the time in all places. Isn't that funny? Everybody outside the church think we are holy and sanctified and we do the right thing. When most of us are broken and sinners. And you see, as a young person, I couldn't realize that my father was a broken sinner who was just trying to do the right thing and try to help me to get better in my life. And saints, as much as I can say he did wrong, and that list is real long, as much as I can say my parents did wrong, the one thing that is high on the list that I always say that my father did for me is when I made that call, he made himself completely available. He dropped everything and then started holding weekly Bible studies with me and my sister. Now this man, saints, who I was so broken about and hurt about, you know, he was the one that was there for me in my line. Who was there for you in your line when you needed to make your call? You see, somebody had to pray that prayer of salvation with you. Someone had to study the Bible with you. And what will someone say about you? Will they be able to say, I'm so glad that they prayed that prayer with me? Will they be able to say, I'm so glad that they took the time to study the Bible with me? What will they say about you? You see, saints, in this sermon series, we've been talking about God calling us. And God calls every single one of us. Isn't that interesting? He knows each and every one of us by name. And he calls us to go out into the world to tell somebody about him. And then he gives us the choice. He gives us the choice if we're going to care about these people or not. And he says, you get to choose. And then once we make that choice, saints, that's when it gets real good, because then we realize we're not wasting time anymore. We know time is limited, and we want to tell as many people as possible about the Lord. That's what it's called to be on fire for the Lord, because you like you're running away from a fire because you're so excited to tell somebody about it. You see, saints, many of us know the Lord today. And if God was to come right now and say, Kelly, come to heaven, I would run out of here in a heartbeat. Many of us would be leaving right now. We are so ready to be in heaven. But you see, saints, God said he didn't want to leave one person out. And that scripture in the book of Peter, 2 Peter, he says, I am patient. And I don't want to leave one person out. Can you think about it, saints? There are billions of people in this world, and the Lord is saying, I don't want to leave one out. One person out. Because even though we think that we're going to live forever, the Bible tells us in that same passage that the Lord will come like a thief in the night. We will not know, but he will show up. Some of us going to be ready. Some of us going to be like, man, oh man, have I messed up. But God is calling all of us to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. And you see, saints, we can think that it's the choir that builds a church. We can think that it's the ushers. You know, the ushers, they got their fancy white gloves at some places. We can think it's the ushers that build the church. We can think it's having a great youth group and a great youth room that builds the church, or a fancy new parking lot that builds the church. We can even think it's the pastors. You see, saints, because I've heard, you know, those pastors that speak with deep voices, fire and brimstone. They built the church. You know, I wish I had a voice like Marvin. I don't have a voice like Marvin, though. I got my voice, and the kids all say, Pastor Kelly, you screech when you preach. We just got to keep it real. Don't try to look away. Y'all know y'all say that. Don't turn around. But saints, I'm just going to use my talents and my gifts to the best that I can. You see, I realize it's not the building, it's not the choir, it's not the usher or the youth group, the parking lot, or the pastors that builds a church. When I was at Grace in seminary, I was a seminarian, I was a student, I was far from ordination. I went to a church that had the worst choir you ever want to hear. I'm telling y'all, saints, that choir was so bad, ooh, it was bad. And they knew they was bad too. They didn't even try to pretend like they was good. This church did not have a parking lot. They sat on the corner. You had to park street parking only. They didn't even have a room for anybody's youth. The youth sat in the fellowship hall with everybody else. And they didn't have a, they was on this top hill in the back street, saints. They didn't even have a church sign. You didn't even know how to get to them. And guess what? I was a seminarian. I was one of the student pastors. So it wasn't a pastor, because you think my preaching bad now. You ain't seen nothing. This is an improvement. Y'all was here with me at the beginning. We ain't lying. This is an improvement. So it's not the building. It's not the choir. It's not the ushers or the youth group. You can have. You don't have to have any of those things. You see, saints, this church didn't have any of those things, and yet they were 500 members deep. They didn't have all of this fancy stuff, and I'm real thankful. I'm real thankful for our building, all of our cushioned seats, our air condition, our fancy parking lot with a nice black gate. I'm so thankful for all those things, as many of you are. But the reality is, those things don't build the church. We build the church. We build the church. I would say, why is it 500 people cramming in this building every Sunday with the worst choir ever? No parking. I mean, they would be parked for blocks on end. Why are they cramming in? It was because of the relationships that they had with each other. And it was because of one reaching out to another. And this person saying, I love you enough to tell you about Jesus. And I don't want you left out. God doesn't want you left out. It didn't have anything to do with the parking lot or the pastor. It had everything to do with the people. You see, our job, as Pastor Rick explained, is to connect people with God, to move them closer and closer to Jesus. The key is not anything but us. We are the key to church growth. You know, saints, if you get up every Sunday morning, you get up for a reason. I hope you do. I know y'all second service, y'all sleep in a little bit. First service people got the credit. They get up real extra early. But whatever time you get up faithfully every Sunday to come here to this building at Glenville New Life Community Church to experience God. And if you're getting up for any other reason, you might as well stay at home and stay in the bed if you're not doing that. You see, saints, the question that you need to start asking, all of us need to ask ourselves, is, do we experience God? If we experience God, when do we experience God? Where are we at? How are we experiencing God? Why are we experiencing God? And most importantly, who are we with? Who are the people? You see, saints, it's real special to be here at Glenville every single Sunday, to be able to experience God with all of you. And when the young people got up here and they sang that nice song from Whitney Houston, The Greatest Love of All, wasn't it nice? Wasn't it nice? And I know some of you are probably thinking, you know, that little girl, her voice is kind of off, and that little boy was kind of offbeat, and, you know, he was a little shaky. It didn't matter, saints. They were using their talents for God. They were using their talents for God. But when they were singing that song, Greatest Love of All, and it says, it's found inside of us. Here's the key to that, because that's not really a biblical song. Here's the key. It's only inside of you if you invite that love into you. You see, you're just not going to walk down the street and bump into it. You're not going to trip over it. You have to say, Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, I believe in you, and I invite you into my life, into my heart, and then you will experience the greatest love of all. That's how it works, saints. We've been on this Daniel fast, saints, and we're coming out of the fast. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good, saints. Doesn't matter if you did the fast for 1 hour, 1 day, 2 days, 10 days, or 21 days, or you might even be going further into your fast. The point of the fast is we all went through it together. We all experienced God together. And as we're coming out of this fast, Pastor Rick mentioned earlier that people began to report spiritual breakthroughs. We've had people in our congregation come back and report they were on insulin, but now they're off insulin. We've had people report they couldn't move their knees, and now they can run across the whole thing here. We've had people talk about having back pains, and all of a sudden they walking up straight. My testimony is during this fast, my husband and I have not argued, saints. One time. We ain't been rolling the eyes at each other or nothing. I think we're going to keep the fast for about the year. But we have been experiencing God. People have been having some breakthroughs, saints. It's a breakthrough when you don't need insulin anymore. It's a breakthrough when your relationships are getting better. It's a breakthrough when look at all the new faces coming to Glenville, saints. We've been praying for new people, and all of a sudden they're starting to show up. Well, it's not all of a sudden. The Holy Spirit sent them here, saints. Friday night, we had this powerful night of prayer. All the leaders gathered, and we were talking about the fast and sharing testimony, but we prayed. And during that prayer time, many people talked about how they've been experiencing God, how they see Jesus, how they hear Jesus' voice, saints. It's powerful to know God. Saints, but many of us are still kind of on that fence. We want to be a full Christian. We want to do all the things that all the Christians do, but some kind of way we're still wavering. Saints, it's time to jump in. You want a real breakthrough, you got to get all the way in with the Lord. Amen. You see, some people were tempted during the fast. They said, I'm going to eat. Then somebody said, no, I'm not going to eat because I'm not going to miss my breakthrough. You see, today is the day for some breakthroughs for a lot of people. Next week might be your breakthrough, next month, but it is coming. You see, saints, all of us get to come to Glenville, and we get to experience an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. Ask yourself, if you come every Sunday, you get up every Sunday, you get dressed, you invest your money, you do all your time, all your commitment, all your work, is your experience authentic? Is your experience real? Is your experience important enough to tell somebody else about it? You see, that's all Jesus is telling us. Our time is limited. We began this sermon with saying we all know that we are going to die. And if we die today, who will we tell anything about Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Hallelujah. Gracious God, you are so amazing. You are so mighty. And many of us still, Lord, we just hang back from you because we're unsure. We enjoy the world and we want to do things our way. But gracious God, help us to know that our time truly is limited. That we all have a special day, Lord. A special day when we're going to meet you face to face. When we're going to stand before you, Lord, and you're going to ask us some questions, and you're going to hold us accountable for our lifestyles, and hold us accountable for our choices, and hold us accountable for who we talk to about you, Lord Jesus. Help us to know today, Lord, today is the day of our salvation. Help us to make a choice today for you, Lord Jesus, and not to continue to wait any longer. We thank you, and we give you all the praise. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and all your people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah.